This podcast is brought to you by Soapbox. Start your own podcast today at www.soapbox.host.
Welcome to Wednesday at 9 p.m. Season 1, Episode 19. On tonight's episode, we discuss the hair-raising legend of the Skinwalker, coyote sprints, and why you should treat stray dogs like Old Yeller. I'm Nick, and joining me are Aaron and Frank.
Hello, hello. We're back. Howdy. After our break. After a very fun campfire special, so I'm excited to hear some crazy stories.
Yeah, we are back to it, back to our usual schedule as well.
Our usual programming, episodes,
unless we change our minds.
That's true.
But shoutouts, as per usual, shout out to Maddie, my mom, and of course the enigmatic, the one and only David Hoy.
May he live long and prosper and listen till the end of his days.
You should do, oh my God, we should have like told him to do a listening party for the Halloween special, like rent out something in the union.
That's so true. David, really? If you're out there, respond to me on LinkedIn. What the heck? He left me hanging. That's my shout out to him.
All right. As usual, a shout out to Troy from Nick. You know how it is. And a shout out to Fallon. I think this will be coming out next Wednesday. So,
indeed.
Happy 2-year anniversary.
Aw. So. Happy anniversary to you guys.
Thanks.
Also, that reminds me, Aaron, did you recognize the last time in the Halloween special, we did a shout out from Nick to Troy, and then you went, oh yeah, one more shout out from Nick to Troy.
Yeah, I did notice that. You know, it's a little late. I already started doing it, so
it was pretty fun.
Full send it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. It was funny in post to listen to. So I left it in.
Yeah, we say a lot of funny stuff in post.
We do. Yeah. Oh man, the jokes that we make that I just have to cut just in the interest of time. It's really unbelievable.
Yeah, we should really offer like a plus package to get the full uncut.
Oh yeah, experience Aaron uncut, just raw.
Well, we're Catholic.
That's true. Well,
if you know, you know.
Speaking of skin,
I think this is gonna get cut.
Speaking of skin, so Skinwalkers.
Yeah, so the topic of tonight is, of course, Skinwalkers, which, you know, there could be a much more detailed episode of this. We could do 38,000 episodes on Skinwalkers, but we're not going to do that, probably. We like having a lot of variety.
Unless we strike it rich and we have, this is our full-time job, then why not,
or,
right?
Well, or yeah, that works too. But for starters, with Skinwalkers, for those of you who don't know, most notably, they are from the Navajo culture of the Navajo Indians in North America. And I think there are other similar legends in other tribes and other cultures, but it is mainly Navajo, and they're in like the western part of the United States, like Arizona, Utah, that area, a little further than Midwest, but not quite Pacific. So typically, a skinwalker is a witch or a shaman, so it could be a man or a woman, that has become evil and has the power to turn into, possess, or disguise themselves as an animal. A lot of common ones are coyotes or deer, and so on and so forth, for all your fun woodland animals. And so a lot of the legend and actual like lore surrounding skinwalkers, it's not discussed a lot outside of the Navajo culture. What we know of is kind of just what people have experienced. A lot of Navajos are reluctant to talk about it to people they don't trust, or in just non-Navajo people in general. So the actual legend and lore of it isn't really well understood. But we do have people's experiences with what they say are skinwalkers. So.
Very interesting.
There is a very famous paranormal case called Skinwalker Ranch, which, again, could be a whole episode, a series of episodes on its own.
You could see this as a precursor to that, no?
Yeah, it definitely.
A warm-up episode for whenever we do that, whoever of us takes that upon themselves.
I feel like it's just going to be Nick again, and he's just going
If Nick's feeling up for it, that would be great.
We'll do like an Astonishing Legends move where we make it like five parts, each are like 3 hours long.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't done that yet, like crazy deep, long, multi-part things. I don't know if any of us are interested in that, whether people would want to listen to that, but we're smart. We could do it, you know?
Yeah. Leave a comment if you guys are interested in hearing a longer series of segments about it.
Definitely. Think of like the vampire episode or the Ouija episode or the Bigfoot UFO episode. Those are, I think, are the three longest episodes that we've had. So if you liked those ones a lot, then maybe we'll do longer form stories in the future. But for tonight, this is more akin to some of our earlier episodes, at least one of my earlier episodes, where it's kind of quick fire stories, just people's experiences. These could be fake. These people may not even be real.
Nah, they're all
skinwalkers.
Oh no.
That's true.
But that's the fun of it. So our first story, very short, but I thought it was really funny because I'm trying to picture what this guy meant when he said this. So we have a Mexican and Native American man and his girlfriend. They're driving late at night in the desert out west. I think it's the Mojave Desert, like out in Nevada, that area.
Wait, that's a real desert? I thought that was just in like the Fallout video games.
No, I think it's called the Mojave.
I believe you. That's where Fallout New Vegas takes place, I think.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, us East Coast elites, yeah, what do we know about everywhere else?
Well, you certainly don't know where your states are.
That's true. Nick knows where his states are. Aaron probably does too. I do not.
So, but the Mojave Desert in California?
Oh, it's California.
Is it only in California, or does it stretch into... It happens to fit perfectly within...
I don't know. I just got a quick glance. Oh. It looks like it extends into Nevada, and I want to say that's Arizona or New Mexico.
Arizona's the one right next to California.
Okay, and then a teeny tiny bit of Utah.
So he was in one of those four states. It seems. And, well, while he's driving with his girlfriend late at night, he sees a large black dog on the side of the road, and it began crossing, so he had to slow down. He didn't want to hit it. But he says that it didn't walk like a dog.
Uh-oh.
But rather like a toy rocking horse.
What?
So I don't...
What do you mean?
I don't know.
Like the rocking horse where its legs cannot... move, right? It's just like an arc.
That's kind of how I was thinking about it.
So it's like a paper cutout of a dog, and you went like on a popsicle stick.
It just said that instead of walking like a normal dog, it moved like a toy rocking horse.
That would be terrifying. I mean, we're laughing now, but that would be terrifying to see.
I'm just imagining it, like, doing the worm kind of across the road.
Yeah, what?
Oh, wait, sorry.
That is wild.
My notes vanished for a second, but they came back. So, So yeah, it moved across the road like a toy rocking horse. It stopped in the middle of the road and just stared at them with glowing red eyes before finishing crossing the road, and then that's the end of the story.
At night, right?
At night, late at night in the Mojave Desert.
Can I just say something about the red glowing eyes?
Yeah, sure.
That comes out all the time. Came up in the Bigfoot stories. It comes up in, you know, cryptid stories or skinwalker stories and all that. Aren't there like no eyes in nature that glow, that emit light, right? Eyes reflect light. There's eye shine, but there's no eyes that emit light. They wouldn't be able to see, no?
Well, wouldn't the car headlights be shining in the thing's eyes?
True, but like they're always described as glowing. Do you know what I mean? Like you can see them in the dark. They are.
Well, to that point, you guys remember back in the days when cameras used to have those big bad red eye effects?
Yeah.
When you take pictures? I feel like it's a similar thing to that. Like the light strikes it just right, might shine back red. But yeah, it That's interesting, weird. To be described that glowing.
Yeah.
I think the weirdest part is the moving like a toy rocking horse.
Well, yeah, that's certainly the weirdest part.
That one, it's like, what can you even say about that? That's so insane. You can't even
even picture it.
There's our art for the episode.
How are we even going to generate a picture of?
Bing AI is a great thing.
I got it. I'm on it.
Yeah, Aaron's pretty good at the prompting.
All right, on to our second story. So our narrator is home for Christmas at their family farm, which is located in the heart of an Indian reservation. It doesn't say where or what tribe, but just at an Indian reservation. And they were home alone because their parents went out to go Christmas shopping. And late that night, the cows started just freaking out and thinking that maybe wild dogs were attacking the cows. They got their boots on and got, quote, Mr. 12 gauge.
Is that a quote? That's a direct quote?
Not a direct quote, but they do call it Mr. 12 gauge. So
that's funny. That's funny.
So they grab a shotgun. And of course, you know, picturesque in the sense that it felt like a horror movie. It was a full moon breaking through the clouds, lighting up the snow.
That's cool.
It's kind of, you know, lower clouds. So perfect, like, setting. They ran into the field to see two dogs in the field itself. And they were standing up facing each other, fighting. The dogs were fighting. Standing up.
Ooh.
Fighting. And they went to pump the shotgun and, like, load the shells in. And it seemed like the dogs heard that, like, pump action. And they look over at the narrator. And as they look over, they get spooked and run away. But they run away on their hind legs. They stay on
That's
2 feet.
That's gross. That is disgusting. I hate that.
Yeah, literally like some Scooby-Doo running.
That makes me think of, shout out to our friend Wolf's dog, which is kind of funny to say Wolf's dog, who I pet sat, because when he'll like stand up, right? He's pretty well trained and he will stretch, and it's really creepy what he looks like when like a dog standing up, stretching up with its arms out. Yes, so the idea
now,
of like
now
seeing
imagine
that,
two of them.
What were they doing? Were they like boxing? Like,
he just said that they were facing each other fighting. That's all that it was described.
I just imagine them doing like, hey, just waving their arms around. Because I mean, realistically, a real dog can't run on two legs, obviously. Like maybe it could balance for a bit, take a few steps, but it can't do that. Am I right?
Right. Yeah. I've never seen a dog just run on two legs, like away from someone into the woods.
I feel like maybe well-trained dogs can like balance and walk around a bit, but like run away on two legs. That's terrifying. That's also why were they fighting?
I don't know. Yeah, it didn't, It didn't look like they were hurting the cows, so, but the cows were still freaking out.
Well, if they were dogs, they wouldn't run away on two legs. But if they weren't dogs, if they were skinwalkers, these are two like rival skinwalkers punching each other in someone's field. It's like no matter what.
In their dog form.
In their dog form?
Or maybe they're fighting for like, all right, who's the alpha for this scheme that they're cooking up?
Are you saying they're dogs or they're not dogs?
Skinwalkers. You think dogs would talk about that kind of stuff?
You don't know what dogs get up to.
Have you watched that movie?
No, it's Strays.
101 no. Dalmatians?
Neither Pet Cemetery? Of those.
No, the one where it's like, is it like
Frank
it
and Weenie? Like Frank pets? And Weenie. No.
Secret Life of Pets?
Yeah, Secret Life of Pets.
Oh, you're thinking of Sing with the gorilla.
Yeah. What's his name? Winston from Overwatch. Okay, anyway. Yeah, I don't know why these dogs / skinwalkers were just fighting randomly in a field.
Because why would they be in their dog form? Wouldn't they be able to better fight each other in human form?
I don't know.
As instead of being in dog form, standing on two legs.
Well, we don't know the rules of skinwalkers. Maybe they were like stuck in dog form for a little while. You know, like kind of like werewolf. Like you just kind of wolf
That's
out.
Interesting.
Like, it was a full moon, you said. Maybe it was so just werewolves and not even skinwalkers. Maybe it was just werewolves.
That's true. So many questions, though.
But maybe this one will give you more questions.
Oh, great.
So we have Patrick. He's a outdoorsy guy. Would go camping and like real camping. Not at a campsite, not in an RV, nothing like that. He would go out.
I feel like
find
you're attacking
spot.
Frank right now.
No, I've only gone camping like at a campsite. I've never gone just in the woods and camped. But
we should camp together.
That's what Patrick did. And he was leaving his campsite one morning, and he'd been staying there for a couple of days. Like he was camping out for a little while. But he said that a coyote always seemed to be close by, and he could always see it on the edge of his vision. And when he was leaving, he loaded his truck and started to drive down the washout, which I don't know what the washout is. If it's like maybe where water flows down or something.
Interesting.
During like certain seasons, but it was described as he was driving down the washout to the fire road. Now that makes sense. Fire, because it's like how if there's a fire in the woods and someone needs to, like firefighters need to go and deal with it, there's like roads for them to go on. So when he reached the wash's end, like the washout's end, he noticed that the coyote was still following him. So he pulled onto the fire road, and the coyote started running next to him.
Oh, we love that.
He sped up, going up to 35 miles per hour or so, and was still running alongside him.
Yikes.
And as he looked back, he saw the coyote running on two legs wearing, quote, buckskin pants.
Oh, how interesting.
That one's a little tough to explain.
And then in an instant, the creature turned into a person wearing coyote fur, still keeping pace with him. And he looked back one more time, and it was gone.
That's creepy. So I know that keeping pace with the car, obviously that's very reminiscent of other spooky things we heard before, like black-eyed kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the main one I think of, right? That's always like...
Bigfoot.
Yeah, Bigfoot sometimes too, definitely. But that like keeping pace with a car where the car is going at speed where like a person or an animal, whatever, shouldn't be able to keep up. That's always creepy.
I feel like the dog, like if this was just a coyote, I feel like it could probably keep up 35 miles an hour.
But on two legs.
Okay, on two legs wearing buckskin pants.
That's faster than Usain Bolt, right? That's okay. The fastest. I think it's close.
Great Danes can top out like 30 something.
I'm sure they can. I know people, the fastest people can run is like upper 20s, I believe, on record.
Great Danes have a top speed of 30 miles an hour.
That doesn't sound very fast, like 35 when you're driving, but like when you think about it as a creature or person going that fast, that's crazy fast. You know?
Yeah. Very fast.
According to SUNY ESF, the typical top speed for a coyote is 35 to 43 miles an hour.
Oh, wow. So wait, doesn't that kind of make sense then? While it's in coyote form, it can run as fast as a coyote?
But that's it. But that's in top speed. It's like humans can sprint, like, but how long?
Well, this is for like chasing prey.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah.
Because it was around him the whole time, and then it changes into a on two legs with buckskin pants.
I just saw something come into the frame of my webcam.
Yeah, it was a coyote.
Probably.
I was a coyote in buckskin pants.
That's interesting.
How do we change the color of his outfit, though?
Did you just see that? I swear. What am I seeing? Okay.
I don't. Where?
I don't know. I think I'm just seeing the green border when I talk, and it's scaring me. So.
Oh my god. Well, don't worry. Of course, I saved the last two. Last two stories are, of course, the best ones.
Let's think about this. Why is this person or animal or animorph trying to keep pace with the car? Why are they trying to keep pace with the car? Like, what is their goal? Not like they're trying to hunt them for prey.
Well, maybe they did. Maybe they wanted to wait till they were leaving. Maybe they liked the thrill of the hunt.
Maybe they're trying to scare people away from the land.
Ooh, that's a good theory.
Yeah, their territory.
Patrick was already camped there for a couple days.
Yeah, you think he's going to camp there again?
Well, why even let him camp there in the first place if they're trying to protect the territory, you know?
That's true, but maybe... I love how we're trying to, like, trying to reason it out.
Let's rationalize skinwalkers here.
Well, maybe he wasn't in coyote form until the end. So he's was walking. Took him a few days.
Here, maybe. I think this next story actually will give you more to think about.
Okay.
Oh, good.
So we have our narrator, who I don't know names, genders, or anything. So I'll say narrator a lot. But they were at their grandma's house with their cousins. So their cousins were aged 10, 13, and 14, and our narrator was 15. So all pretty similarly aged. And one night, they're out in the backyard, and where the grandma lives, it's kind of like in this rural area. There are houses around, but a lot of the most of the area around is still rural. Lots of woods,
yeah,
things like that. But there, it's not like there are no neighbors anywhere. So one night they decided to make a campfire out in the backyard. It was about 11 at night, and they were playing truth or dare, as you know, young kids and teenagers do. And our narrator and one of their cousins were dared to walk through the paths in the woods for 10 minutes.
That's a lot of time.
So they didn't have a flashlight, but even at 11, apparently it wasn't dark enough for it to be pitch black. So I don't know where they were.
Yeah.
Could have been summertime,
I guess, but still it's pretty dark at 11.
Could be a moonlit night. Very moonlit.
Yeah, not for the country boys.
But also, I mean, maybe with the fire giving some light helped out. Because if this is rural, that could be one big fire. But anyway, after about 5 minutes, they could barely see the fire. So they decided to turn back. And on their way back, they saw a large dog-like creature hunched over in the path with its hands like an inch from the ground. So think of like Eeyore being hunched over.
Oh my god.
But it's a dog.
Did you just say his hands?
Yeah, his hands.
His like, paws or his hands?
Hands.
Oh. Ew. Wanted to make sure that you didn't just misspeak.
A dog-like creature with hands.
Hands an inch from the ground, hunched over. The narrator said the eyes were bright white.
Oh my God.
So that's different from like the green or the red. It's bright white.
That's worse.
And it had a, and it was described as a humanoid dog shape. It had a human-like head, but a dog-like body with human hands and human feet.
Oh my God.
So take that image in.
No, I'm actually rejecting the image.
It sounds just like the werewolves from Harry Potter.
Oh, kind of.
Like, that's the closest I have.
I'll have to look it up. I have no idea what that looks like.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, it's dog-like, but it also has, like, I don't know, the cranium.
You're talking about, very huge. Is this in the Harry Potter movies?
Yeah.
I only read the books. The books are better, so.
Well, maybe you should imagine how you imagine in the books. Imagine what this thing looks like.
Just scared myself imagining it.
But it looked at them and then just ran off in the opposite direction. So, of course, our narrator and their cousin screamed, and the other cousins and their grandma ran to them to see what was wrong. But the narrator said they didn't remember much after that, but they did wake up in bed. So they may have been
passed out of fright.
Yeah, maybe. And then they just woke up in bed. And so the kids slept in the basement together in this big room, and there was a sliding glass door to the outside since part of the room was on the side of the basement that was not underground. So like the whole, because it was kind of hilly, the area where the house was. So some of the basement is not underground.
Sure.
And from the bed, they could see their cousins playing outside. So they were like, okay, I don't want to, you know, miss out on all the fun. So they get up to join them. But when they got out, it was apparent that they weren't playing, but they were running and screaming to get their grandma. Their grandma's dogs were dead and ripped up.
Oh my goodness.
There was no further description of that other than dead and ripped up. They went to bed early that night, but the narrator woke up at 2 a.m. feeling something hit their head. They wake up and look around, and they see their cousin sitting on the double bed opposite them on the other side of the room. They were just staring at our narrator, and the 14-year-old cousin nodded his head up to the window. And as they looked up, they saw a, quote, really messed up looking face pressed up to the window with gaping eyes looking down at them.
Holy.
They all screamed and it ran off. The grandma came down, called the police, but nothing was ever found, and our narrator never visited or stayed there ever again.
Well, that makes me not want to live in a rural environment ever.
No, it's fine. That's a good time. Coyotes are more scared of you than you are them.
Well, that just gave me insane deja vu. Oh my God. That's so weird.
That was last episode, Frank. Come on. We're on Skinwalkers now.
True. What? Okay.
All right. So
there's so much to take in. First story was the in the woods encounter, right?
Yeah. So of this story, you mean?
Yeah. So that was like early. This was all the same night, correct?
No. This was a two separate nights. It's because they were playing the truth or dare. They had the encounter in the woods. The narrator fell asleep, woke up in bed, and it was the next day.
Mm.
Then the dogs, the whole thing with the dogs. And then that night they went to bed early, and then this other thing happened. Gotcha. So it was two separate nights.
So first thing I want to point out is lost time, potentially.
Oh, interesting.
Perhaps. Yeah. I don't know if the other cousin that was in the woods experienced the same, like, lack of memory.
Remembrance.
So maybe it definitely could be, but I don't know if two people experience the same thing. I don't know if one person would have missing time and then one wouldn't. But it's not explained either way, so maybe.
Dude, that last scene is straight out of a horror movie. With the face.
Was it a human face or a dog face?
It just said a really messed up looking face with, I've never heard gaping eyes. I've heard of like a gaping maw, right? Like that's a classic monster.
Yeah. Huge mouth.
Must have been like huge wide open eyes.
Presumably white, if it's the same entity. That's horrifying. It's terrifying. Can you imagine that waking up? And you know, when you wake up and you're in that like very
delirium.
Yeah, like semi-delirious, very delicate mental state. That's scary. Ugh.
And
I don't like that.
2 a.m. 7 at 2 a.m. And I don't know why all the other cousins were awake, but they were.
Yeah, like frozen in fear. Like,
yeah, they were just horrified because they could just see it. But it wasn't looking at them. It was looking down at our narrator. So maybe they didn't actually see the full face.
That's even worse. Why is there like a personal connection there? I guess because the narrator is the one that went into the woods.
I guess. But so did the other cousin. That's the thing.
Yeah. Right. Terrible. I mean, man, I guess when you live in that sort of environment, really, there's no telling what's out there, right? I mean, when you live in a city, it's extremely, I mean, there's no telling what's out there, but the range of things. Go ahead, Aaron.
Usually what's out there is just homeless people.
Exactly. Which is very terrestrial, you know, very mundane.
Well, not if they're holy madmen, homeless people.
That's true. Depending on what they might know things that we don't know. They might have the knowledge. But compared to like a rural environment, I feel like the range of things is so much wider. It's like so much more spooky and unknown. And maybe it's just coming from a city boy. But I mean, do you guys feel that way? You both of you kind of have, you live in much closer environments to that than me.
Well, I know that rural doesn't imply surrounded by woods. True. You can live in a suburb that is surrounded by woods.
Yeah.
Like where Aaron lives, like where his parents live, that's rural, but like there aren't really any woods nearby, like right around his property.
Well, at the bottom of the property there is, but
yeah, but like
that's down the hill. I don't care about other side of the house too. I'm looking at wide open fields. I know what's out there.
You know what's out there?
Usually coyotes. Yeah. Usually coyotes and then
could be skinwalkers then.
No. I doubt it.
You've spoken to them, you know them.
Yeah. He's like, yo, what's up, bro?
I'll wake up in the middle of the night hearing them and it's very odd because it just sounds like screeching. Like
that sounds very scary.
Have you heard a coyote, Frank?
I'm getting insane deja vu still. I feel I don't know. Have we had this conversation before? I feel like we have. I don't know if I have heard one before. You know what? I'm going to put in the sound effect right now so that people at home can hear it. Oh my god.
I don't think I've ever heard a coyote scream. Like, anytime I've gone to, like, my friends' houses that live kind of out in the middle of nowhere, I've never heard a coyote.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that, like, the clip. I've heard that plenty of times. I've woken up in the middle of the night to that, and I always go to the window trying to see if I could see anything.
To shoot it?
Yeah, well, next time you do that, you're going to see a pretty messed up face smushed against the window.
Then we can have some more content.
Blowing you kisses.
That's just Bigfoot, though.
No, that's just a cow.
Yeah, wait, this could be a Bigfoot encounter. Pretty messed up face that actually in the window that actually lines exactly up.
And then, like, human everything except the body. Maybe this was a Bigfoot.
Maybe it was a really skinny, you know, maybe it was like a vegan Bigfoot. So instead of like huge and shredded, real spindly.
Well, it didn't describe it like, it didn't say it wasn't muscular, but it didn't describe it really.
Yeah.
It didn't describe it in detail anyway.
I don't think they were really looking at the rest of it.
No, probably not. They're taking it like, that's a good physique. What's your routine?
Yo.
It's like,
how many cycles?
With its eyes. Like, yeah. That's, well, I hate that.
Yeah, that one was a kind of a scary one, but not scary enough because, again, we didn't really have a good definition of how it looked. So it's so,
it believes up to your imagination.
True. Or being AI.
Or for being AI, either this or the rocking horse will be the art for,
I feel like,
the episode.
Being AI would refuse to make something very scary. I feel like it's got dumb.
I don't know. Did you see the image I sent
of the dog? That is pretty spooky, but it's not like grotesque. If you can make a grotesque face in a window smushed up against it, that would be very impressive.
Okay.
And so we'll move on to our final story of the evening. Told you this would be a quicker one.
Oh, I'm going to talk for like, I'm going to have a 30-minute monologue at the end of the day.
Well, this one, again, I always save the best for last. This one has some, the ending is wild, awesome. In my opinion. All right. So we have, again, our narrator, don't know. I'm assuming this one's a woman because they're visiting their friend Karen at her grandmother's house on a reservation. And her house is near Tuba City, Arizona. So we're kind of in that, you know, area of Navajo tradition. And kind of like the previous story, the house is in the middle of nowhere, but there are rural homes surrounding. And she describes that the first day is pretty uneventful, but the grandmother said that a stray dog came out of nowhere and refused to leave the property. It was described as having a black, shaggy coat, and it looked like a mix between a German Shepherd and a lab. So that night, she and Karen were watching a movie while Karen's grandmother cooked dinner. And Karen went to put a DVD back on the case, or like the shelf where the DVDs were. And she started freaking out because the black dog was staring at them through the window into the living room where they were watching the movie, standing on top of a wooden box outside. So Karen opened the door and yelled at it to go away, and it ran off behind the shed. The next day, they go to get groceries, and when they came back, dog was nowhere to be seen. So they went into Tuba City, came back, all good. The grandmother went to go visit people for the rest of the day, so Karen and her friend, who was narrating the story, they were left alone. And at around 5 p.m., they heard someone trying to open the door. And when they looked outside, the dog was trying to open the door with its paws wrapped around the doorknob.
Ooh.
And so once again, Karen opened the door and chased off the dog. Karen's grandmother came back and they told her what happened, and she was not liking what she was hearing at all. So that night, they slept in the spare bedroom because there were two beds. So they just thought it'd be better if they slept in the same room. And one window with curtains was open just a little bit. And as they turn the light off to go to sleep, they hear a noise. Something coming from the roof. Footsteps. And then scratching and panting noises. And then what seemed like something jumping off the roof and landing on the plastic water barrel that Karen's grandmother had. Then they heard barking. But as it grew louder, other dogs in the neighborhood and nearby started barking at something. They heard running around the house, still barking, this noise, but it sounded like a deep male voice imitating what barking would be.
Oh my God.
Like it, like saying like roof, roof. So like actually saying like the R's or like, you know, arf, and say in like pronouncing like the A.
Oh my God. What?
You're going to make that a soundboard. I know you are.
Oh, thanks for the idea. I didn't even think about it.
Roof, roof. They started to hear this panting again by the window, and Karen, for some reason, decided to open the curtain.
Bad idea.
And standing there was the stray dog on its hind legs staring into the bedroom. But this time, they said that it stunk.
Interesting.
And where two black holes were in the neck of the dog were another pair of eyes that twinkled in the moonlight.
What?
The paws were deformed and appeared as hands with overgrown, thick, and sharp fingernails. Naturally, they both screamed and shut the curtain. The grandmother ran down, seeing this creature. She grabbed ashes from her fireplace, loaded three shells into her shotgun, blessed herself in Navajo, however they do that, and went out to shoot it. The grandmother and Karen were traditional, I guess, in like the Navajo culture. So the next day, they called a medicine man to come over to perform a ritual. So he prayed over everyone, had them eat these bitter herbs called Eagle's Gull, and then gave them some trinkets for protection. And the way he prayed over them, he like burned cedar and like used cedar smoke for this prayer.
Good thing Steve wasn't there, am I right?
Oh, he good thing forgotten. Steve wasn't there. Yeah. He would have not gotten the Eagle's Gull.
Exactly. Yeah.
But the medicine man, knowing that it was a skinwalker, said that it used the body of the stray dog to make this illusion that it was actually a dog and make everyone think it was a real dog. Also, now we're getting into things I've never heard before about skinwalkers.
Cool.
The medicine man said that they harm people by using a type of human bone straw to spit at someone and get human bones in them.
I'm not done yet.
I'll save the question for later. And apparently, doctors can't detect when this happens. And that day, the medicine man pulled a piece of human skull out of the grandma's right shoulder, and it was about 2 inches long and a centimeter thick. And apparently they watched him pull it out.
2 inches?
That's the end of the story.
What?
Wow.
What do you mean pulled it out?
2 inches is really long.
And 1 centimeter thick of a piece of human skull. All right, so where do you guys want to start?
Bone straw? Like a dart gun? Like a hollowed out human bone dart gun?
I don't
know. More bone in?
No, they spit it. Like, it's like a spitball. But if you get hit, or if you spit at someone, human bones go in you. Or maybe they do spit human bones at you. I don't know.
Okay, first of all, why did we go to inches to centimeters halfway through the measurement? I think that's the thing we're really overlooking.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the real confusing part here.
No, but seriously, it sounds like if the shaman or the medicine man was correct, it almost sounds like the second set of eyes may have been like the skinwalker's actual eyes.
Exactly what I was thinking.
And like, it was just part of the skinwalker was peeking through the possession.
Or it's a costume from Spirit Halloween.
Yeah, I'm sure. I've heard that the ancient Navajo really put a lot of faith in Spirit Halloween.
Ancient company.
There's also the fact that this time, like in this last encounter, it stunk. So
yes, oh yeah, yeah.
So I don't know why in all the other times, because the other, like, it was trying to get into the door and Karen shooed it away, basically. They didn't describe any bad stench in that scenario. So I wonder why in this last one, where there's all this noise, this, you know, the panting, the running around, this fake barking, now it stinks?
Question.
What?
This happened over a few days, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so the first day was when they saw the dog and it was staring at them on top of a box, but then they shooed it away. The second day, it was when they went to get groceries, came back, and then when they were alone, it tried to open the door. But then that same night is when the really crazy stuff happened, when there was the running on the roof, it jumping down, it running around the house, the fake barking, and then obviously them opening the curtains and seeing what it was, and then the grandma going out and shooting it with a shotgun. And then so, the day after that was when the medicine man came.
So I would imagine, I don't know how this all works, but I would imagine the dog, the stray dog body that's being possessed, probably would decay or, you know, start to smell after not grooming itself.
Oh, for sure. But then it's like, how come earlier that day when it tried to get into the house, no smell was described, but now at night there is.
I don't know. Maybe that's a skinwalker power we just don't know about.
Maybe.
Create stink.
Well, that's a Bigfoot power for sure.
True.
Definitely. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, Aaron, that it's like rotting, a corpse rotting.
The medicine man did say that it used the body of a stray dog to make this illusion. So the skinwalker could have just used a corpse of a dog or killed the dog and then used it.
It's just so wild. I mean, wait, how did he get on the roof?
That's a great question that I don't have an answer
to. Wait a minute.
Superhuman abilities. We saw it running 35 miles an hour after a car on hind legs. You don't think maybe it gets a jump boost?
Oh yeah, it could double jump midair.
It's like in Gmod.
I don't know. Who's to say it didn't climb up the side of the house?
That's true. Some like Dracula action.
Ooh, that's creepy. Very creepy. Yeah. The eyes in the neck.
Yeah, the eyes in the neck, the human bone straw.
You gotta love the stories where it's like the badass grandma, you know, traditional local religion, you know, doing what she needs to protect, getting the shotgun, doing the local blessing. the medicine man, right? Because when, like what you said at the very start of this, the context you provided, you could think of skinwalkers as like kind of the evil medicine men, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So they're kind of like total counterparts. One is good, one is evil. So it's pretty interesting that you have, you know, a medicine man trying to undo the work of his, like, opposite.
Yeah, like the classic good versus evil.
Yeah, but the bone straw, the spitting and getting human.
Yeah, I've never heard of a skinwalker causing harm to people by using a human bone straw to spit at someone and to get human bones inside that person.
I love that idea. That is such a crazy, cool idea. Like, I blow at you and I'm like, oh, you've got the knee in your stomach now.
No, you actually blow. It was described like you actually blow through a straw, like a dart, like, you know, a blowgun.
Is it a blowgun? Like, do you have the piece that you're shooting into them? Or is it magic that if you get like spit on from this, you know, bone flute, then like human bones show up in your body? Or is it literally just like a weapon where you could just blow a sharp shard of bone into someone's body? That's what I want to know.
The author said, and I quote, oh, also, for some reason, our narrator calls skinwalkers Yoshis.
I'm sorry, what?
So, what's the name of the author? Mario?
So they say that Yoshis or skinwalkers tend to harm people by using some sort of human bone straw to spit at someone. Think spitballs, only deadlier, and get human bones into them. That's it. That's all I got.
So
that's all we've got to work off of. That's crazy. It does sound like blowing pieces into you.
But then how did this happen to the grandma? Did when she go out to shoot spit at her, and then the medicine man pulled out a 2-inch long centimeter thing, part of a human
skull?
That's
actually a great point. That's actually a great point.
But they said they watched
it. No idea.
Or the author, our narrator, whatever you want to call her, watched the medicine man pull it out of Karen's grandma.
Maybe it was actually a piece of her shoulder, and he just chipped her shoulder and took out a piece.
Maybe.
The grandma never moved her arm again. He's like, oh, this is a skinwalker bone shard. And she's like, that's my shoulder that you just took out. Her like, shoulder's like dislocated entirely. He's like, oh, this entire arm is a skinwalker arm. That's wild. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know what to make of this. This is terrifying. It's crazy. I like that we're expanding the skinwalker lore,
which we already don't know anything about.
Yes, this is going to be my headcanon for skinwalkers now. They've got bone straws.
Human bone straws.
Yeah. So
Nick, I think I found the website you used.
Oh, yeah. It was very easy to look up.
CVLT Nation. Yeah.
Link in the sources.
It's already there. Yeah.
So at the bottom, it says, in Navajo, it's a long word, which I'm assuming if you look at the first story, the Yenal.
Yeah, Yushi, I didn't want to bring that up.
Okay.
Because I didn't know how to say it either.
Try it. Come on, say it. What is it?
It's Yenal Lushi.
Yenal Lushi or Loshi.
I've never heard that word. Is there like a translation for that word?
Okay. So Yenal Lushi translates to, by means of it, it goes on all fours.
Whoa.
So that's in the Wikipedia article that is also going to be in the show notes. So yeah.
According to the Navajo English Dictionary from 1998.
Interesting.
That's what Yenal Lushi means.
We'll just call them skinwalkers. not Yoshi's. I think that's kind of dumb. If you're going to reference the Navajo word, you got a full send.
Yeah. Wow. What a ominous translation. By means of it, it goes on all fours.
It's also a bit ironic if you think about it, because we saw several stories where it quite specifically went on bipedal.
And one and all
true.
You know? Yeah. Like, it made a point to be in a position where it could be in all fours, and it chose to walk bipedal.
That's so interesting.
But that's all I have for you guys tonight. I think Aaron is hosting the next episode. Do you know what your topic is going to be?
I'm between a couple. I'm not going to say anything right now because I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm thinking it's going to be another Jersey one.
Ooh, fun.
That's all I'll say.
Well, if you're excited to listen to that, stick around for next week. As remember, we are on our normal schedule. Leave a comment on the website or on the episode. I think you can do both. Remember to rate, share, like, follow, and tell all your friends about Wednesday at 9 p.m. And remember, if you see a humanoid creature in the woods, see if you can beat it in a race.
I'll give it a hug or something.
Or dodge the bone
spell. Dodge the bone straw. If there's one thing to know about tonight's episode, it's dodge the bone straw.
Amen to that.
Good night and stay spooky.